name of our wonderful Lord. It gives me a great sense of satisfaction to be able to just come and share with you the blessings and the burdens of my heart and life, and have you to pray for these matters. I know by the mail that I'm receiving that that I am being heard, and that many of you are getting your needs met through this tape ministry. Probably after this particular tape or the next two tapes, you will probably realize that we're going to change the matter of the tape club to the School of Faith. And there will be a couple of different phases of the School of Faith. And of course, the monthly tape ministry will be part of the School of Faith. And we're real excited about the changeover. I think there will be an emphasis here that will be helpful to more people and so on. So I praise the Lord for that. You may be aware by a letter sent to you or by other means of communication that we're all moving to the Euless area, Fort Worth area. I say we all, I mean my family and I are moving. In fact, all of my family is in Alaska with the exception of Martha, John, and myself. And we're going to move to the Euless area and be having the main office there. And you, of course, will be receiving some information about that possibly in your printed material that you receive from us. It certainly is a blessing to see what the Lord is doing across the country. The Lord has so richly blessed in opening up many doors. I may have mentioned some of this to you, but this year, end of this year, we'll be going to Alaska. I want you to place this matter on your heart and pray for that meeting, because we plan to take a number of men, maybe even some ladies, from here to Alaska to be selectively deposited. I think that'd be a good way to put it. We're going to put these different men that we take from here in the different homes in there in Anchorage, and we are really believing God that God will use these many different ministries and the different ministers through their different ministries to just minister to the people of God in Anchorage area. I'm believing God that when we go to Anchorage and leave there, that Anchorage will never be the same again. And I'm very, very serious about this particular statement of faith. And I'm standing on the promises of God that He gave me, that He would be faithful. And He Himself would be there to establish His faithfulness, and that His Word would be the truth that we could stand on. And so I really know God is going to do a great work in this meeting in Anchorage, Alaska. So you pray with us about this matter, because a number of folk from this part of the country will be going. So we're looking forward to that. And then you pray with us about Switzerland. In 1978, January the 23rd through January 31, we're going to Switzerland. And already we have a number of people from all over Europe that is going to meet us there. So this is going to be a unique experience. And then in 1978, we're going to Germany for a meeting. And you be praying for this meeting, because I believe God will meet us there. Well, the Lord is doing some things. Since I talked to you last, I have I've been to the doctor. I've had tests run. And the doctor gave me my report back, and it's the best yet. And it would be hard to tell you how well I feel. I know many, many of you have been praying for my help, and you pray constantly that the Lord will be real to me in my physical person, and I tell you, the Lord is doing a mighty work in my life, and so I praise you I thank you more than I praise you for really praying for me. And I praise the Lord. I just really praise the Lord. I got to thinking about praising there, and I'm about to praise the wrong person. But I do thank you. Nevertheless, it's certainly a joy just to be able to share all of this with you. And I trust that the tape ministry will be uniquely significant to you. I want to say this about the next two tapes. I'm talking about warfare. I'm going to deal with aerial warfare. Now, these two messages were preached in a revival meeting. I believe that I'm supposed to send these out. I know that it will be some material that I have had in other tapes back through the years, or I believe it's ground that I've covered before, and it's very likely you have heard me share this. But it may be that you do not need the information as much as you need the inspiration of this particular hour. You know, I get a letter occasionally where people drop out of the tape ministry because of repetition, you know, and they just get the same stuff over and over. And of course, I'm sure that I do a great deal of this, but I think when a person's looking for new material all the time, they're looking for a teacher, not a prophet, to be preaching to them. And so a lot of times we get informed but not changed. And so I pray that these tapes will inform you enough to keep you with the truth. But more than that, move on your heart enough by the Spirit of God that your life will change from glory to glory and victory to victory. So I'm looking for that in these tapes. And I just praise the Lord for what He's doing. Now, I know that these next two tapes, being on warfare, will be a significant blessing to you. If you are at the place you need them. If you do not need them, I would suggest that you keep them listed as warfare. And then a day when you really need them, then get these tapes back out and play them. That's what I do with books and so on. And when I do this, I find that my heart gets ministered to. Sometimes I'm not ready for the tape or the book that I pick up, so I put it over on the shelf and hold it there until I do get ready. So I'm trusting that this will be the case, you know, with you on this particular tape. Now, I'm preaching the message at Valley View Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, a church where God is mightily working and moving, and God is going to do a great work there. Pastor Howell Up Church is the man that God's using to lead this group of people, and I trust that they will be blessed there. I might say this. If this tape is so filled with repetition to the degree that you feel like you need some more material, you just send it back and say, I would like Brother Beasley's substitute tape for the messages on warfare, that we feel that we have adequate material on this matter. And so I'll be glad to make a special tape for those that respond in that way. Be a blessing. Be a real, genuine blessing. Some of you are not aware of the fact that a great deal of my emphasis is on faith, and I walk and deal in this area a great deal. So you may be interested in getting involved in the School of Faith. And if that's the case, you can just write to us and check out the details. We have 10 tapes at this time prepared for those getting involved in the School of Faith. And we have notes prepared. The notes are being reconstructed, but the ones we have are very good, adequate, helpful. And you may just want to get in on that. I do not know. But if you do, you write and talk to us about it, and we'll tell you what it cost and all this as the time goes along. And so I trust that you are praying about the ministry, because God is doing some great and mighty things. I know the Lord is speaking to your hearts tonight as
He's all over this place. And I just praise him for being here tonight. I thank him for coming and being taken up with us. And I trust that you will be sensitive to him. I think one of the major reasons that God does not send mighty revival in our day is that because we are not sensitive to the Lord. We're not sensitive to what he's saying. So I trust that you'll be sensitive to him tonight and thereby not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. I believe tonight that God has literally, while that choir was singing, I believe he has literally placed his hand on some people to send them out to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe while that choir was ministering, I couldn't see how Lonnie could sing anymore. I was afraid for him too, because there was so much glory during that special. And sometimes we just run on past the Lord if we aren't real careful. But I believe the Lord showed me, and even showed me the people that he was laying his hand on to minister the gospel while that choir was singing tonight. And I don't know what else he was doing, but I believe he was speaking to a lot of hearts. Now, I mentioned last night that I was going to speak on the matter of the enemy of the child of God. I'm going to deal with this area a little tonight. Not altogether. I'm not going to spend the whole message there, but I will spend the message Saturday night dealing with the area of the spiritual warfare, of how to deal with the enemy, how to deal with the opposition. Actually, it will be stated tonight, but it will not be dealt with specifically until Saturday night, and I'm waiting specifically to Saturday night, so we'll lose all the crowd that doesn't mean business. And because I think you could take 10 people that know how to walk with God and do more than you could take 10,000 that doesn't know how, and I'm looking for the Gideon bunch. Amen. And that bunch that lap, you know, that stay home from church on Wednesday night, well, Saturday night, because they'll be too tired Sunday. Well, that crowd's not even in the ballpark for what I'm talking about. And so I want to save that particular part of this message. But I do want to share with you tonight an area that I believe is so applicable to this ministry. And it's so applicable to all of us. Let me read out of the New English Bible a few verses that you're very familiar with, the verses that I read last night. Ephesians 6, beginning at the 10th verse. Ephesians 6, 10. And I'm going to be reading out of the New English Bible, so you'll notice there's a difference. Finally then, find your strength in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put all the armor which God provides, so that you may be able to stand against the devices of the devil. For our fight is not against human foes. Now, that's what I wanted you to notice. For our fight is not against human foes, but against cosmic powers, against the authorities and potentates of this dark world, against the superhuman forces of evil in the heavens. Therefore, take up God's armor. Then you will be able to stand your ground when things are at their worst. So complete every task and still to stand. Now, this particular portion of Scripture lets us in on, I believe, the source of the opposition that we have to the kingdom of God. Just because, for the lack of a better terminology, I can't find it, I refer to the principle by which God works in this life, like we have in the field of aerodynamics. We have the law of aerodynamics. And so in the Christian life, there is, I suppose, what you'd call the law of theodynamics, of theological dynamics, or scriptural dynamics. And that would be the fact that God is yea and amen. And God is yea and amen, meaning if there was not some resistance, He would be all there is. He would do it all. He'd take it all. In other words, another way I could explain this, the moment you dispel darkness, light comes in. Right? Or you can take light and dispel darkness. Right? And you have this law working. But now, of course, you have the same law working the other way. And, of course, the law is in charge. That's the most powerful. And God has allowed Himself, and I know this is a strong statement, but I'm prepared to stand behind it. I wouldn't care to spend the night doing it, but I would if I had to. God has limited His omnipotence to man. Now, that does not violate the truth of the sovereignty of God. It doesn't. God is so sovereign. God is so sovereign that He can allow man to have a free will and still be God. I'll tell you, that's some God. Yes, but He's able to do that, friend. He really is. And I don't understand how He does it, but if He didn't allow you to be free, then you would not be created in the image of God. And yet He knows exactly how you're going to do what you're going to do, and therefore He relates everything in relationship to what He knows that you know that you're going to do as you do when you do it. And it's amazing how God just really can handle this thing, and I'm glad I'm a child of His, and I'm glad I'm walking with Him, not fighting. And I'm glad I don't understand it all. Amen. I'm glad I accept it tonight by faith, and I don't have to explain it to you. And if you come up to me and ask me to explain it, I won't tell you to ask the same fellow I ask, and that's God. And He'll tell you what He tells me, and that is there's some of things that's not any of your business. If you knew Him, you'd know as much as He knows, and you wouldn't you'd cease to be what you should be. I'm positive of that. But nevertheless, God has limited His omnipotence to you. Now, friends, if you'll not obey God, get right with God and obey God, God will not be restored to His desired place in your heart. So He has limited His omnipotence to you. Now, you can see that real easily from just what I've said on a personal level, but when it comes to a corporate level, a church level, a city level, a nation's level, a world's level, what do you think then? God lets us in on this principle when He created man and put man on earth and gave man dominion over what? Over the face of the earth. The same principle. Are you aware by now that I preach basically in principles? I mean, you may not realize why I'm running off over here and getting this story and running off over here and getting this story, but if you'll bring them together, they'll cross at a certain principle. And the stories may be totally unrelated to one another, but the principles are perfectly related. And, of course, it takes most people about half a week to catch up with how I preach, and I'm sorry if I do it that way, but I thought you already knew, and so I hadn't stopped to explain it. But the Lord has placed a responsibility into your hands. And that could be said, and as I said, I'm laying out some heavy words here, but you are to restore God to His omnipotence, is one way you could put it. I like to put it this way, that man's obedience to God enables God to restore Himself to His omnipotence. That's the same thing, just a little better way of saying it. And it gives you a few more words to hang your understanding on. But nevertheless, God tonight has placed tremendous responsibility. Your disobedience brings judgment. Your obedience brings the opposite from judgment, life, victory, right? And there you go. But now this is not only... Well, let me back up just right here. Then by your obedience to the Lord, you're responding, your life responding to the Lord, you allow God to be what God wants to be in your life, right? Okay. Then by a group of you working with God, you restore God to His omnipotence in a corporate group. And I know that one of the questions, well, how can a man pray and believe God for someone else when they are free will? I want you to know that's grounds for the philosopher, not the theologian. You say, why? Because the theologian will never figure it out, and usually the philosophers are stupid enough to try it. And they are always expected to come up with some kook idea that man doesn't believe anyway, so that's why I say that field is for the philosophers, not the theologians. Amen. I'm saying that you will never figure out how God can leave a man a free will and yet change that man to where that man wants to do exactly what God wants him to do, but God will do it every time. And that's God's business and not yours. Amen. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to worry about it. But I want you to know one thing. God has given you the commandment to actually have dominion over this world. He really has. And that doesn't mean that Christians are to inhabit the world. It means they are to run it. There are several things that point to this. One is the promise and commandment that I just referred to out of Genesis. Another great illustration that man is to have dominion over the world is the fact that God has made you the chief animal. Excuse me. Amen. Right? I think you get the point. I wouldn't want to call you an animal, seriously, but far as God's created beings, we're the chief. There could not be any. In other words, we're the highest order, right? And in that we're the highest order, it just stands to reason from that order that God, which God created, that you're supposed to run things. And so, now another sign, another indication that we are supposed to have dominion over this whole world is the fact of the millennium. That's right. Now, when the millennium comes, we're going to rule and reign. Have you ever figured out your lot yet? Are you going to be a lawyer during the millennium, or what are you going to do? I just want to tell you, we wouldn't need any lawyers in the millennium. Amen. Well, I tell you what, you say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, I got news for you, friends. I'm figuring out what I'm going to do. Amen. I don't know what all I'm going to do, but I'm planning on ruling and reigning. That sure would be bad if some of you'd have to sit under me during the millennium. It wouldn't be too bad because the Lord will have given me everything new. Even a new heart, so I wouldn't be as mean as I am now. Amen. But I'll tell you, friends, the millennial reign that is the ultimate for man on earth is actually a living example that God has made man to rule and reign. And that's what He's going to do. Because the economy of God and the bride, the church, is, of course, that she be ruling and reigning with the Lord. And I'm not going into detail, but I'm just laying these things out for you. And here's what I'm saying. The opposition, this world right now in which you and I live, is the world that God has created for the purpose of accomplishing God's end. I mean, now I'll restate that. This world in which you're living is the world that God has created and placed here whereby God can accomplish His end, and I'll add a little more, in each of us. That's why that's the purpose of the world. This whole world just didn't happen to be. It came here purposely with a purpose. And that's to be the vehicle by which, my dear friends, you get your training and learn how to become what God wants you to be ultimately in the end. How are you getting along? Well, do the politicians run this business? No and yes, or yes and no, which one? What about it? How you get along? Take different facets of life. The politics, take education, take finances, take morals, moral issues, and every kind of adversity you find in life. Do you suppose the things that you look out here and face in life, and let's use the word adversity because they make a little bigger impression on us than blessings, right? I'm always dealing with adversities instead of the blessings, but anyway, let's take these adversities of life. Do you suppose the adversities of life are harmonizing with God's will or in the kingdom of God tonight? For instance, the morals of this nation, do you suppose it's like God wants it? Come on now, I'm reasoning with you, and I don't reason often, and so you suppose it is? Well, do you suppose the financial structure of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is in perfect harmony with what God has planned for it? Well, you don't. Well, now I wonder who's going to change all that. Of course, I know what some of us are going to do, sit here with our heads in the ground and act dumb and wait till we die and hope it all turn out all right. That's typical Baptist philosophy. Amen. But there are some people in this world that want to seek ye first the kingdom of God and discover His will and refuse to let the devil have one inch and pray and seek the face of God by faith till they see the glory of God move out of heaven and move into earth. Individually, corporately, countywide, statewide, nationwide, and worldwide. And if you've never met one of those fellows, friend, I want you to know I may be going in half dead, but I'm going in on that bunch. I'm not planning on sitting here letting the world go to hell. When I walk off of the face of this earth, brother, I want the devil to have, I want him to know, bless God, I have been here. Amen. Yes, sir. I know the Lord knows I've been here, but I want the devil to know I've been here. You say, why, preacher? Jesus I know and Paul I know, but said, who are you? Amen. Prayer is always three-dimensional. It affects God, affects you, and it affects the devil. And if it doesn't affect the devil, friends, it hasn't been effective. It hasn't reached its goal. That's right. And so the Lord has placed us here in this economy, and He's allowed the devil to be here. Now, the first thing that I feel that most of God's people do in this Christian life when they start into the deeper things of God is they misinterpret the enemy. They do not know, they do not recognize the enemy. And he is so good that I can get up and preach on the enemy a message more thorough than the one that I'm going to preach tonight. And within 2 weeks, he will have blinded me to his literal, not his literal existence, but his activity in my midst. I have never seen anything like it in all my life. I mean, it just amazes me how powerful the devil is in working a strategy in me to blind me to his activities. And it shows up by the fact that, you know, I'll blame people for acting like they do. Now, I know people are responsible and they've got to face God one day and they'll be judged by the way they act. I want you to know that. That's literally true. Because even if a man in a heathen land receives the light of God from nature and God says he does, if that man will turn to that light some way, somehow, God will get him to the truth according to the Word of God. And I believe when Christians want to know the truth, friends, God will lead them to the truth. And I believe every man in this building tonight is going to stand responsible before God for what you are. But I do want to say this. I start blaming people. The devil has such ability that He blinds my eyes to the foe, and I start blaming people.